Good evening. Welcome to our carol service this evening. Please stay afterwards for refreshments in the rear hall. Question. What do those fleeing from Aleppo, those who struggle to cross the Mediterranean or the Channel, and people in this country who spend money they don't have on online gambling sites, what do they all have in common? The answer is hope. One betting company's slogan is, "Life is a game." But last week, Terry, who was our preacher for the children's carol service, reminded us, how can you play a game if you don't know the rules? He reminded us that Jesus came to teach us God's rules, to explain what we have to do to win, and to win big. The world is longing for hope, and the greatest source of hope is found in the Bible, where we discover that true hope can only be found in Christ alone. As we put on the leaflet we distributed, hope was born that night. So we're going to sing, we're going to listen to some scripture readings, and we're going to discover where we find true hope.
The birth of Jesus is foretold, as related in Luke chapter 1. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
The birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the child to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Today's reading is from Luke chapter 2, starting verse 8. Now there were shepherds nearby, living out in the fields, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Saviour is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a vast army appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among people to whom he is pleased." When the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, that the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger. When they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child. And when also who had heard it were astonished and what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these words, pondering in her heart what they might mean. So the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything was just as they had been told.
Jesus is presented in the temple, a reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 35. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, a name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother,
This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.
So the next reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called them together and all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go too and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
If you want to follow in the Bible, we're looking at that passage that Josh just read, in Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. Searching. When I was a boy, searching constituted hide and seek. Really, that was about it, not much more. Hide and seek. As I grew up a bit, things like Easter egg hunts came into this country. They weren't around when I was young, but they're much more common now, aren't they, Easter egg hunts? Children, have you done some Easter egg hunts? That's hard to say, isn't it, Easter egg hunts? Have you ever done an Easter egg hunt? Yeah? Good. You don't need to be shy, you know. I know I'm loud, but I'm not too frightening. And I am a granddad, so it's okay. But today, searching is completely different, isn't it? Go on. Who hasn't been on their tablet today? Hey? Who hasn't had the computer on or the laptop on or the telephone or the phone looking for something? Do you know, in 2007, they reckoned there were 350,000 searches a day on the internet. Do you know what it was? What it is now? 4 billion searches every day on the internet. Searching. People are looking for something. I guess you're all looking for something. And in the time of the Bible, if you were looking for something, you couldn't pull out your telephone or anything like that. We've got some men here, we're told about, who are looking for something. Now, children, I don't want you to get cross with me if I tell you that we're not certain there were three of them, okay? They certainly had three gifts, didn't they? So there may have been three of them, but the Bible doesn't actually say, and the Bible doesn't actually call them kings either. Although they might have been connected with kings, they were important people. The Bible calls them magi, or wise men. And they lived, do you know where they lived? They lived near the place that we hear about on our news at the moment, where all the terrible things are happening. They lived up towards Syria and Libya and up that way. And their job was to keep an eye on things and to study things. They were very serious people. I don't know, children, have you been doing nativity plays and concerts in school this last week? Yeah? Good. That's good. Have you done some as well? Have you done any concerts this week? Yeah, I went on Wednesday to see one of my granddaughters. She had a starring role in the concert. She was a sheep. But she was a really good sheep. Now, Jessica, she can't do things by half. She likes to get stuck in. And in this particular concert, I think it was called The Bells Rang Out, and it was very good, excellent, truthful to the Bible story, except the bit when the sheep were going up the aisle doing this. Now, sheep do get fairly lively, don't they? They do bounce around, especially when they're lambs. But I have to tell you this, I don't think these wise men would have done any of that. They were far too serious for that. And anyway, if you'd ridden on a camel for about 500 miles, I don't think you'd be doing a lot of jumping either. And that's what they'd done, you see. They had come an incredible distance. Because one of the things they did was they studied the skies. They weren't astrologers. They didn't read the skies so much. They were astronomers. They studied the stars. And this new star had appeared. Now, a lot of these men would have been influenced, you know, by someone who's quite well known in the Bible. In fact, there's a book named after him in the Bible. His name was Daniel. And if you go back in the Old Testament to the book of Daniel, Daniel was taken captivity to Babylon, to Iraq, which was what the place was. It wasn't called Iraq in those days. It's called Babylon. And he was taken there as a young boy. And the blessing of God was on him, so much so that he was more brilliant than all the wise men. Even as a young man, he understood things better. And the Bible tells us that he became the chief of the Magi, the wise men. Now, Daniel was a Jewish boy. He'd grown up in the people of Israel, and he knew all about the early part of the Bible. And he would have told these people all about it. He knew about the prophets and the prophecies that the prophets had made. And amongst the prophets in the Old Testament, as we were looking at this morning, there are prophecies about someone who is to come, who is to be the Messiah, who is to be the king, who is to be the one who's going to save people and make them right with God. And these men knew that. They'd read all of that. And when they saw this star, it wasn't too hard for them to put two and two together. This was special. And they were no fools. They knew that when something special comes along, it's a really wise man who follows it up. So they set off on a journey, and they followed this star. And it brought them eventually to Jerusalem, the capital of the country from which Daniel had originally come. How extraordinary. And when they came there, because they were important people, they were often known as the kingmakers. We've got a kingmaker in our country. Anybody know who the kingmaker in our country is? Oh, I'm shocked. Duke of Norfolk, the Earl Marshal, right? The Duke of Norfolk, the Earl Marshal. It's been for hundreds of years. The person who's the Duke of Norfolk. Well, anyway, these men were known as kingmakers. If you were to be crowned as a king in the country they came from, the Magi would be asked. Now, the king in Egypt at this time was a bit of a character. Not a character, I think, that you and I would like to meet. His name was Herod the Great. He was called Herod the Great by history. He was called great because he did some pretty amazing things. He made some fantastic buildings in Jerusalem. He worked really hard at things like that. He could have been called Herod the Horrible because he wasn't a very nice man. He was the sort of man who, if people were challenging him, he would think nothing of having them killed. His brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, one of his wives, three of his sons, Not a very nice thing to hear, is it? That's the sort of person Herod was. And when these wise men came to him, these magi came to him and said, well, look, we're looking for the Messiah. We've seen the star. He must be here. They thought Herod would be excited. They thought that the Jewish religious people would all be excited because it was fantastic news. And Herod wasn't excited, was he? What does the Bible say he was? It says he was disturbed. He was all shook up. He didn't like to hear that news at all. He was the king. He didn't want another king. But he couldn't, because these were important guys, you know. He couldn't really say too much. So he said, oh, well, that's good, isn't it? Perhaps you could go and search diligently. I tell you what, I'll get in the our wise men, our men who know their Bibles, and I'll ask them. So they called in all the Jewish leaders, the wise men, and they said, this Messiah, does it say anything about it in the Bible? And they all said, well, of course it does. And he said, well, what does it say about where he's going to be born? And they said, well, the prophet Micah, you know, 400 years or so ago, he wrote about it. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Micah had written that 400 years before. Oh, they said. Well, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that when the wise men said to Herod and to these religious leaders, Bethlehem, they would have all said, let's go! Because these people are supposed to have been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years. But they didn't. They didn't go. They were pretty cynical about the whole thing, really. And Herod was pretty cynical about the whole thing. He said, I tell you what, lads, you go to Bethlehem, and if you should find this child, come back and tell me, and then I'll go and see him myself and worship him. But he had no intention of doing that. None at all. And I wonder who you're like. Are you like the Magi? See, they made a long journey, didn't they? Because they saw something as true. And because it was true, they were ready to make a really long and difficult and arduous journey to find out the truth because it was valuable. I was looking for an illustration and I found one. It was slightly worrying for me because it's an illustration about a couple in America. Betty Goldstein and her husband, who were both 62 years old or 63 years old. And the story starts, an elderly couple in Staten Island, which worried me because I'm older than both of them. I don't feel elderly. I'm not elderly. Anyway, Betty wasn't very well and she was told she had to go into hospital. So she said to her husband, Ron, she said, Ron, I'm not wearing my diamond ring into hospital. Take care of it. So she took a 3.5-carat diamond ring with a gold band off and she gave it to Ron. And Ron picked up a nice piece of tissue and wrapped it up and put it on the side of the table. Said, let me take you off to hospital now, dear. And he took her off to hospital. He came back in and he said, right, let's have a look. I better keep this place clean because if Betty comes back and it's not clean, I'll be in trouble. And he, oh, look at that tissue. And he threw it in the bin. Well, the good news is he remembered he'd thrown it in the bin. The bad news was he'd put the rubbish bag out. The good news was that it was Monday and the rubbish men come on Monday, so he'd be okay. The bad news was when he got outside, the rubbish men had already been. And he could see the rubbish truck going down the road. So he jumped in his car. And he drove all the way to where he knew the rubbish men would go. And he went in and saw the boss there and said, look, this is what's happened. And the boss said, okay. And when the lorry came in, the boss said to the men, would you be ready to help this man look for his wife's diamond ring? And they all said, yes. Imagine that. They emptied out this truck. And they went through every bit of the rubbish until they found the bag from Ron's house. It didn't have Ron written on it or anything like that. But they found it, and they found the ring. And it took them ages. But you see, that was something that was valuable. And they were prepared to put the effort in to find it. Well, the Christian message is the most valuable message you will ever hear. For all of you here, there's nothing more valuable. What could be more valuable than knowing that you're right with God? C.S. Lewis, some of you might have heard of C.S. Lewis. He was a very brilliant man from Oxford and Cambridge University. And during the war, he did a series of talks over the radio about religion. And millions of people used to listen to him because he was a very shrewd man and a very capable man. And he once said this. He said, Christianity is a statement which, if it is false, is of no importance. But if it is true, it's the most important thing in the world. One thing it can't be is moderately important. It's either the most important thing or it's not important at all. Now, to these magi, finding the Messiah was the most important thing. And they went on until they found him. And when they came to that stable, was it a stable? Was it an outhouse? I don't know. Sometimes we won't know these things until we get to heaven. Because for a lot of people, their houses comprised a bit where the people stayed and a bit where the animals stayed. It was all one big place. And so it may be that someone was actually being fairly kind to Mary and Joseph in saying to them, look, we can make a space out where the animals are. Whatever it wasn't very auspicious, was it? Here were these wise men, these magi, they're following the star. And where does the star come to rest? Right over the king's palace. No, not over the king's palace. Over a little outhouse. But they get off their camels and they go into the outhouse. And what do they find? They find a little baby wrapped up in gold with a little crown on his head and courtiers all around. No, they find a baby of a poor couple wrapped up in bands of cloth to keep him warm and to look after him. And what do? Do they turn around and walk out the door and say, we got it wrong? No, they don't. They go in and they come up to the baby in the manger. Not his mother, by the way, notice that. They come up to the baby in the manger and they kneel down before this baby and they worship him. And they give him their gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, those gifts can mean certain things, but I want to say this. What they were precious gifts. They were all that they had with them, and they came to this baby in an animal's feeding stall, and they gave him everything they had. They weren't cynics. They weren't Herod. Or the religious leaders, but they were really wise men. And they knew that this baby was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And everyone, the Bible says, everyone who trusts in him will be saved. Now, I don't know what you're looking for. I'm pretty sure you're searching for something this Christmas. But are you searching for the most important thing? The Savior, the one who can make you right with God. And the way you'll find him is not to be a cynic about it all, but believe what the Bible says. And when you come to him, kneel down and worship him, and praise God that he sent a saviour who will make things right between you and God, because that is the most important thing to do.